Greetings, and welcome to the ICL Analyst Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Limor Gruber, Head of Investor Relations. Thank you. You may now begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone in the room and on the line, and welcome to our fourth quarter 2015 analyst meeting and conference call. Earlier today, we filed our Q4 2015 press release to the securities authorities in the U.S. and in Israel. The press release is also available on our website. Please note that the full annual reports in the 20F format will be published on March 16. For your reference, this meeting is being webcast at www.icl-group.com. There will be a replay available a few hours after the meeting, and the transcript will be available within 48 hours. The presentation that we will review today was also filed to the securities authorities and is available on our website. Please don't forget to review slide number 2 with a disclaimer. Our comments today contain forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These statements are based on management's current expectations and are not guarantees of future performance. Today, as usual, we will start with Stefan Borgas, our President and CEO, followed by Kobi Altman, Executive Vice President, CFO. In addition, ICL Executive Committee members are on the line, and we will all be happy to answer your questions after the presentation. Stefan, please.
Thank you, Limor. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you, wherever you might be listening. When Kobi, our CFO, showed me the numbers for the quarter, for the fourth quarter, and for the full year for the first time a few weeks ago, he came to my office and said, Stefan, it's a pretty tough environment, but it's a pretty good quarter that we had. And I will explain you, and Kobi will explain you with even more competence why this is the case, and also we'll give you some indication of what we will expect. There are three things, really, that made this quarter. We had very high potash volumes, not just in sales, but also in manufacturing. We had very strong deliveries from our operational excellence activities, and our bromine value chain really returned very well. And that more than offset the lower overall prices that we had, especially in the fertilizer business. These efficiency and cost reduction initiatives will continue to deliver in 2016, but also beyond 2016, going above our previously announced numbers. And third, the focus of ICL on the downstream specialty businesses is starting to materialize itself, and it starts to show in the numbers. If you think about the environment, currency depreciation, crop prices low, credit availability for farmers terrible, monsoon very weak in India because of bad weather, oversupply in most of the market, potash price reduction of 40%, phosphate prices also in the fourth quarter starting to become soft, stronger exports from Chinese commodity suppliers, all of this environment impacted the demand side, not just for the fertilizer commodities, the agricultural commodities, but also for the food specialties and specialty fertilizer commodities. I'll show you in a minute in the next slide how this worked. We are starting to move our portfolio towards specialties. The joint venture in China is a direction into this. We're going to build every year additional specialty markets, and we're going to eliminate commodity for this. We have a new mineral in the UK which used to make commodity potash, which will be a specialty mineral called polysulfate, which is quite promising, and our food specialty business also starting to show very good traction. Let me talk a little bit about the environment in our major markets. In fertilizers, really, the activities of the team are all around operational excellence. With about 12% less people and notably lower cost, because of this, we had an all-time historic production record at the Dead Sea in Israel in the fourth quarter. We are on a run rate of about 4 million tons at this location. There, this is about 10% or a little bit more than we produced on average in the past. We think this isn't a sustainable number for the future. We also signed a framework agreement, a new framework agreement in China for 3.4 million tons over 3 years with our local customers. This shows the relationship that we have here, which obviously will start to get strengthened more with the specialties that we can start to offer these same customers in the market. Let me just spend 2-3 minutes on the potash market because you're going to ask the question anyway. This is a weak pricing environment. We expect this weak pricing environment to be at least in the discussion realm and in the negotiation phases throughout the first quarter. The spot deals that some of our competitors make are ugly in these first weeks of the year. We don't participate in this. We're not supplying to these low-cost markets at all, so for example, in Brazil. But the industry also seems to have reacted. If you look at the announcements in the last few weeks, about 6 million tons of capacity have been taken out of the market, with Mosaic, PCS, Belaruskali, Intrepid Potash, and ourselves announcing curtailments or shutdowns. So there's a shortage of supply that has started to come. The China negotiations, which usually always open the pricing rounds all over the world, this year will be late. Chinese New Year has just only started. Personally, I expect the negotiations not to be finished before the end of March, maybe beginning of April. This is the usual game we have every year, and I can only hope that the industry is going to stay calm. We, ICL for sure, is going to wait until the big suppliers have settled their contract, and then we will do what we always do. What this means is that the supply in the first quarter to China are going to be very, very low. There are enough inventories to carry the Chinese through the first quarter. So there will be no shipments. There will be no shipments to India either, not very much to India, because the Indians have followed this behavior. So the potash market in terms of actual sales will be low. We are very relaxed about this because the world is going to need to fertilize. This will deplete the inventories, and this will then help the supply in the second, third, and fourth quarter of this year. So it doesn't make us very nervous. It's just a matter of cash flow management from the first quarter into the other three quarters. In industrial products, our adjusted operating profit grew by 50% compared to the same period last year, and our margins grow by 500 basis points. This is due to much better cost position after the strike. We can see the effect, although on the cost side, we have only achieved half of where we eventually want to get to in the long run. But it's also attributable to the better pricing environment. It started in China after we have implemented a very disciplined price increase starting the fourth quarter of 2014, which carried through the entire year. Prices now, elemental bromine prices now in China are about 50% higher year over year. It's a little bit 50%. It's a little bit misleading because in the winter the production of Chinese manufacturers is always low because of the weather. So they will start to turn on production again in March, April timeframe, and then prices will soften. It's always the same curve every year. But we're at a much higher level now. The good news about this is that compound prices, prices for downstream products, also have gone up in China. and now are starting to strengthen all around the world. So this has really been a good initiative. We're very happy about our performance. Some of the write-offs we took in the fourth quarter in this business are directly linked to this fact because they're an effect of our commercial policy. 2015 also was a record year for clear brine fluid for the oil industry. Believe it or not, and the fourth quarter was the strongest quarter we've ever seen in history. This was not only due to the actual demand itself, but also due to the fact that there was a leaking well in the Gulf of Mexico, and in this case, clear brine bromate and clear brine fluids are used in order to fix the problem. So 2016 will show a slowdown in this business, but still it helped in the fourth quarter of this year. Otherwise, our mercury control business went very well, and our new flame retardant launches, FR122P, for the insulation foam market also went very, very well. And last but not least, in our performance product business, we have... Give this back to me. Thank you. In our performance products business, we have a very good boost from our whey protein business, which boosts our entire food business, and the advanced additives, the industrial phosphate business had a record year. This was the best performing business unit in ICL in 2015. So overall, here also the walk into specialties shows its benefit. In 2015, we progressed both on our growth as well as on our efficiency plans when it comes to the implementation of our strategy. There are many items in the next slide I will expand on further. Let me just pick out two or three out of this long list of achievements here on this slide number five. We grew our resource base in China, and this gives us now the ability to really build the specialty market in Asia over the next 3-4 years. We were very successful in turning the cost development in Israel, especially at the Dead Sea, and with less people, we produce more material. So this shows you that this was not just a pure cost-cutting initiative, but like we have explained before, this was a initiative in which we got management capability back to management, away from the unions. And this is the reason why now we can produce and use the plants that we have. And by the way, the excitement of the people in the plant is just absolutely intoxicating. When you walk around these plants, people are proud. They walk with high heads. They are excited to work, to come up with new ideas, and to, just to contribute. And this is great. I think we will see a lot in the next 2 or 3 years in all of these sites. In polysulfate, we more than tripled our sales to more than 120,000 tons. It's a particularly tough environment to launch a new fertilizer, a totally new fertilizer, because all prices are down and everybody's fighting for positions. Still, we were successful in achieving our targets. We will go further. And then I need to expand a little bit on the efficiency initiatives that we have launched. We had announced that we were going to improve EBITDA by the end of 2016 at a run rate of around $350 million. The actual achievement for 2015 was $275 million, about 20% ahead of our target. You can see that we have adjusted the target for the end of the year. We have adjusted the end of the at the end of the year. Our objective, we have a very conservative CFO, so we have just indicated that there's more opportunity here, and as the year advances, we will update you on this number. Beyond 2016, there's quite significant potential as well. The labor cost in Israel, for example, had an effect of $25 million in 2015. The run rate, however, and the effect that you will see in 2016 is around $70 million. And then,
including the 25 or plus the 25?
No, including the 25. That's the total number. So you can see a lot of initiatives that have been started are having their effect only in 16 and 17 and in the years beyond. ICL was never really recognized as a phosphate player. In discussions with analysts until about a year ago, this was never very much a point of discussion, and this is starting to change. As you can see on slide number 7, we are developing to be a significant phosphate player, especially when you include the downstream specialty markets, because this is the forward, the focus on our strategy. In China, the joint venture sales in the year we took them over, 2015, are around $450 million on an annualized basis. We will grow this to about $650 million by converting half of the portfolio to specialties. It takes a little bit of CapEx, not too much. It takes mainly new product development, product launches, build up of sales and distribution channels, and the systematic penetration of these downstream markets that you see listed on this slide. We are running this as a 50-50 joint venture, but our partner really, truly lets us manage this operation. We have nominated all of the management. We have a voting majority in the board. And in the day-to-day operations, all the adjustments we're making, our partner supports 100% what our team wants to do. So the contracts that we have signed are being fulfilled, not only by the letter, but very much by the spirit as well. In bromine, we continue to pursue our value-added price-over-volume strategy. Customers are actually willing to pay for supply security, for service, and for the innovation and the reliability that we offer to them. Chinese domestic production cannot supply all the demand in Asia, and we were able to take advantage and increase prices in contracts, but also in the spot market during the strike and after the strike. By the way, during the strike in 2015, we did not shortcut any of our customers. We pre-built inventory at a bit of additional cost upfront, and customers appreciate this kind of a reliability even in a difficult, stressed market environment. In 2016, the contribution just of pricing to this business is going to be in the low to mid single digit range, but it will of course completely flow into operating profit. The other component in bromine is the improvement in efficiency. We have decreased our CapEx very significantly. We have cut our CapEx down to 30% of the historic levels. We have closed some of the lowly utilized or non-utilized facilities in Israel, hence some of the impairment that we did in the fourth quarter. We have reduced cost by, which will contribute another $15 million in 2016, in addition to the $10 million that we already achieved in the second half of 2015. The advocacy that this business needs also is not to be neglected. We need to be in very close contact with authorities all around the world in order to have fire codes, environmental codes at a level where this business can be supported to the benefit of the environment, of course. We are now actively promoting the mercury emission control technology in China. We already have run two pilots in China. We've had many conferences there with a lot of interest from the industry. The European Union has, in the meantime, decided on the same mercury emission control levels than North America. And in China, these levels are now being formally introduced in the regulatory environment. And we would expect the laws to change there also over the course of the next few years, potential for mercury control in China is about double, is more than double the size of the potential in North America. In on the R&D side, finally, in the bromine area, we have three interesting projects that have made good progress in 2015. This is the energy storage solution with lithium prices going up. Bromine more and more starts to be an interesting alternative for large-scale batteries. We have made good technological progress with bromine for gold extraction, replacing cyanuric acid, and we have new applications in the 3D printing material area as well, which is quite promising. Excuse me. Finally, in our food specialty business, we have integrated our whey protein business. The growth that we have seen in 2015 in this business was quite spectacular, exceeding our business plan and our expectation. It's the biggest contributor to the growth in the food business in 2015. Also here we have developed new products. We're able now to produce a high protein containing clear drink, which we can now offer to the sports drink industry, Gatorades and the likes, where now protein supplementation can happen. Of course, this is something the industry has been waiting for. That was a technology breakthrough from our German team. Let me give you a couple of statistics before I hand over to Kobe. The commodity business units are targeting top line and bottom line growth. Potash sales decreased in 2015 mainly because of the strikes. They will recover, sales will recover, and profits will recover because a little bit of volume comes back, but mostly because costs are going down and are going to balance out the still significant price decline that the market will see if we compare year over year. So operating income in potash should increase slightly. In phosphates, growth, of course, will come from the integration of the joint venture in China, where we will see the first profitability. In the fourth quarter, this joint venture had a negative operating income, because it's the fourth quarter, so it's the down season. There are not very many sales. It's to be expected. But full year 2016 should contribute moderately also to the profitability. And then the operating income as a whole in phosphates will grow somewhere between 8 and 10%. Our specialty businesses are continuing to grow in faster than the commodity businesses, starting to convert ICL more and more towards a specialty business company. In 2015, still only one third of profitability came from the specialty businesses. In 4 to 5 years from now, it will be almost half. With this, I'm turning over to Kobe, who will give you now the real secret behind the numbers of the fourth quarter. Kobe.
Thank you, Stefan. We try to be short so that we will have sufficient time for questions. Good day, everyone. As Stefan mentioned, in Q4, after the final impact of the strike on our income statement faded away, we achieved good performance and demonstrated growth in profit, despite difficult business environment in many of our markets. The quarter highlighted the results of our operational excellence program that we initiated in early 2014 as part of our strategy. And thanks to these initiatives, we were able to significantly reduce our operating costs. And I will show you in a minute some measures of those, but we achieved production records in quite few of our production sites. Sales this quarter increased by 2% over the parallel quarter in 2014, mainly as a result of the increased potash volume that we sold into China. The divested non-core businesses were completely offset by the consolidation of the joint venture. The increase in volume that we saw was partially offset by lower prices, mainly the potash and the unfavorable exchange rate, mainly the depreciation of the euro against the dollar. Adjusted operating income for the quarter was up 15% compared to last year, and this is coming mainly due to the reduction in cost. I think that it's now evident why it was so important for us to initiate these cost reductions and efficiency improvement program. G&A expenses increased this quarter versus 2014, and this is somewhat offsetting the contribution of our efficiency plan, and we are working on measures to contain the G&A expenses, even at times where we need to have some kind of shadowing efforts as we are building our new global structure. Effective tax rate was lower in this quarter compared to 2014, mainly due to different mix of profit sources from various jurisdictions, and we had particularly high effective tax rate last year. We are proud to be this year again the company that paid the highest tax rates and royalties in Israel in absolute amount as well as in effective government take rate. Cash flow this quarter was weak. In the cash flow, we were still under the impact of the strike in the first half of the year. Trade receivables reflected the increased sales of potash this quarter, and we were kind of missing the collection from past quarters when we did not operate. We also had this quarter a significant one-time payment of over $30 million in respect to the YPH joint venture. This liability did not impact our income statement because it was part of the acquisition, but it had an impact on our cash flow. On annual basis, we showed better results in most of the parameters versus last year, with the exception, obviously, of the sales, mainly due to the strike and the divestiture's impact, as well you can see the impact on the cash flow year over year. As well, cash flow, we talked about the strike, but we also had a big payment of $150 million that we made this year on the royalty arbitration accrual. The accrual was made in 2014. Moving now to the various businesses, quickly, sales in the potash, you see that the production, it was an excellent quarter. Production level was in record in few of our sites, namely the best ones were Dead Sea and the UK. We sold 275,000 tons, more than in the fourth quarter of 2014, and reached a level of almost 1.5 million tons. All-time high for Q4. You see here the impact of the prices decline year over year, and the slight impact on the exchange rates, although exchange rate did not have an impact on our profit, because we are kind of having a natural hedge, so we get the heat mainly on the sales, but profit is balanced. You see here the contribution of the volume and the prices that help us to significantly show an improvement in the profit. The next slide show you the cost per ton, and when we are calculating here the cost per ton, you can see that it's a full cost per ton, including everything. And we compared here 2012 to 2015. We took the second part of 2015 because in the first part we had the strike. And you see 23% cost reductions over the last 3 years. Most of this contributed from our internal initiatives, but you see that we also benefited from some external factors like currency devaluation, as well as oil price reduction, etc. Moving now to the phosphate business, you see a positive impact of $95 million coming from the contribution of the joint venture consolidation. Volumes loss, the big portion of that is that we are still suffering from the fire that we had in Rotem in the second quarter, and lower sales in Brazil and few other markets. But all in all, strong results for the fertilizer, phosphate and fertilizer business, and you see it very clearly in the profit. Here as well, we wanted to show you some figures in slide 18 of our main products and the achievements that we were able to do over the last 3 years in executing our operational excellence strategy with many, many initiatives that are contributing now to a significant reduction in our cost per ton, making ourselves much more competitive in the marketplace and able to absorb also some price reduction. And you see here also the contribution of our internal initiatives as well as some external factors. Industrial products also had a good quarter this year. As Stefano explained, we are our strategy is clearly price over volume. So you see here volumes are down, but we start to see a contribution from the prices that still have a marginal impact on sales, but start to have a more and more contribution to the profit. And you see a very good quarter for the industrial product business. Performance product, the main story here is the divestitures that we had. So in the comparable quarter of 14, both in the sales as well as the operating income, most of the reduction is coming from those businesses that we divested in the early part of 2015, and a contribution from the newly acquired businesses of mainly the whey protein that Stefan mentioned. So all in all, also from our core businesses, a good result for the performance product, both on the quarter as well as the full year. By that, we conclude our opening remarks, and we will now open the call for Q&A.
Thank you. At this time, we'll be conducting a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and a confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Thank you. Our first question comes from the line of Yona Weiss with HSBC. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello. Good morning. I have a couple of questions, if that's okay. First of all, Stefan, you mentioned in your commentary that the current potash market is, if I heard you correctly, ugly, and that you had not been selling at low prices to Brazil. And nonetheless, you have shipped definitely on the high end of your quarterly ability or quarterly capacity. So I'm wondering, where did you find customers that met your beauty criteria?
Everywhere except in Brazil. But obviously strong shipments in Asia, because we had some contracts to catch up on. You know, we had signed a more or less same contract than the year before, so we had some catch up to do. But really also Europe and North America had some good momentum in the fourth quarter.
Okay. In terms of the issues with the State of Israel on the Sheshinsky Committee and Sheshinsky royalties and taxes. During the fourth quarter, there were press reports in Israel that you are planning to sue the government to prevent implementation of these royalties. Could you update on your legal strategy with regards to Sheshinsky?
This is a law now passed by the parliament. We don't like to have to have higher taxes, but, you know, there are many, many reports in Israel. We haven't filed any kind of lawsuit. For us, this is a little bit part of the past. Now we try to explain why Israel might be better off with a more moderate taxation environment. The country would certainly profit from more investments from the company, but the parliament has spoken. They want short-term taxation and not so much mid- to long-term investments. We are now accepting this decision. Really, I want this to quiet down. We should move into the future. It is what it is. We will all continue to live and survive. Everybody lives with the consequences of their doing. From our perspective, let's move forward.
Well understood. Thank you. But if I let me just one more question on the slide 12 with the transformation which you show towards specialty versus commodity. I'm assuming that commodity in this case is potash, and a specialty is all your other businesses. Could you comment maybe on if you assume standard or unchanged potash prices, how your operating margin could also evolve given where you see the sales? Where you see the sales mix evolving over the next couple of years?
So the underlying assumptions here are a little bit different, Yona, from what you just suggested. The commodity business includes, of course, also the phosphate commodities. We sell some of them, TSP, DAP, MAP. We cannot consider those specialties. That would be a little bold. So they're in the commodity basket here. We assume slightly raising potash prices over the next 5 years in this scenario.
Okay, but in terms of margins, I mean, would the margin, how would the margin actually decline?
Here you see the answer, Jonas, on slide 10. Of course, if sales are more or less flat or going up a little bit, margins will go up as well.
Okay. And I guess the last question, if I may, with regards to your comments on ICL phosphate, I mean, would you consider, if you wish to put more stress or more spotlight on phosphates, would you consider having more reporting on ICL phosphate business, certainly with a joint venture in China? It's a very different business. I don't know how that will be reflected in your financial statements, but would you consider clearer or more detailed phosphate reporting?
We're having this discussion actually internally at the moment. Is the reporting the way we traditionally have it? Does that fit our strategy and the way you guys would like to track it? We are evaluating this at the moment. We have a team doing this very actively. We'd actually welcome your ideas on this. What kind of reporting would help you? But we recognize that the old reporting by product lines might not be the long-term best suited transparency for you.
Thank you very much.
Our next question.
Jonah took all the fire.
Our next question is from the line of Stephanie Barcelo with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you, and thanks for taking the questions. My first one's actually just a follow-on from the previous question. So on slide 10, where you show that operating income in 2016 within potash could grow in 2016, can you just clarify, is that assuming a declining potash price environment? And if so, what sort of price decline are you assuming in 2016? That's the first question.
It assumes a slightly declining potash environment because year over year, if you look at what happened in the second half of 2015, if you compare year over year, it's mathematically almost impossible to have higher average prices in 16 than in 17 than in 15, unless the large contracts are going to be negotiated dramatically higher. We don't assume this at the moment. But I think there's a good case for potash prices to start to stabilize and maybe strengthen a little bit, especially in the second half of 2016. there's good case for this, especially because of the curtailments of most of the players.
Okay. Are you willing to give us your expectation in terms of what you think the contract will sell?
No, because it depends on the week. Our expectations change up and down. We run many different scenarios, so I'd rather not give you any specific numbers because I think I'll be wrong on whatever
okay.
I say.
And then just on the CapEx for the next 2 years, you showed in a presentation recently that you don't expect CapEx to exceed the $800 million level over the course of the next few years. Can you perhaps give us a bit more color in terms of where you expect CapEx to be for 2016 and how that's going to be allocated across the divisions?
Yeah, we have a CapEx budget not exceeding $700 million for 2016. This even might be a little bit on the high side. We're looking at this because we'll have a weak first quarter. If we have a weak first quarter with weak cash flow in the second quarter, maybe we'll move some of the CapEx projects into the year after. For sure, 700 is the upper limit. From today's perspective, it might be there's a good case that we could be below that.
Okay. Perhaps just one final question on the dividend. We have seen a number of your peers and other miners adjusting dividends in response to the lower commodity price environment. Obviously, ICL has a strong track record of paying of being a large dividend payer, but I wanted to get your sense in terms of your thinking about how your dividend is set. Would you, for example, consider at any point in time moving away from the payout-based ratio to perhaps something like a cash flow metric or even an absolute number or progressive dividends?
Let me just add one more comment on the CapEx. You asked about the CapEx breakdown between
sure.
the segments. The segment with the highest CapEx by far is the commodity fertilizer. The other business units require much less capital. In terms of the dividend, the board did not discuss it so far. Usually in annual events, we are discussing the dividend for the quarter in our March meeting, and this is why we cannot comment on that yet because the discussion has not been made yet. However, I will say that, yeah, we are considering looking at other mechanisms or ways for our dividend, and we hear comments from you and others about our current practice, and we listen to you, and we might look for other ways to connect our dividend too. But I would say that we are still very committed to very strong shareholders' return in any of those scenarios.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Milan Shah with EMO. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks. Just on for Joel Jackson this morning. Stefan, I think I recall you mentioning in the past you're looking to gain, obviously volume in 16, obviously won't have the impact of the strike. But then you also just mentioned, how other players in the industry, even small players like Intrepid, you mentioned some reason for hope in terms of potash pricing, given some of the scaling back in production. So, or sales, might you abandon the idea of trying to increase volume in 16, or is that something you would consider?
No, as you know, in ICL, the operating model is a little bit different than with most of our competitors because we have this large production asset in the Dead Sea, which will for sure continue to produce flat out for sure. Because that's just the way the operating model works there. Whether we will sell it all or build a little bit of inventory, which is practically at zero at the moment, that's a question of that's a tactical question on the market. We have a historic inventory level between 600,000 and 900,000 tons at the Dead Sea. We have close to nothing there at the moment. We are not producing granular potash at the moment at all. The plant shut down because granular prices are not attractive from our perspective. So we're always reacting to the market situation actively, and we will continue to do this, of course. When I said we will be fully back online in 2016, that was for sure relating to the production.
Okay, thanks. Just one more here. Q4 potash costs were really, really low. It's quite impressive. Obviously you've implemented some cost-cutting efforts. Can you maybe give a little bit more color on what happened specifically in the quarter? Was there a shift in mix? Maybe just a little bit more there, please.
Well, you know, we've been working on this now for 2 years. There are many different aspects to this. There's the labor cost at the Dead Sea. There's the use of raw materials at the Dead Sea. There's the day-to-day maintenance cost that goes into this, the cash-out maintenance cost, the stuff that's not capitalized. There's an optimization of our entire logistics chain. We use rail cars more fully than before. We use trucks that have 25% more capacity. In the UK, we reduced 300 people. The first ones are already off the payroll in the fourth quarter. There's other variable cost reduction. Of course, we're a little bit helped by the oil price, so fuel costs are down. But our gas contract also is linked to some of the global oil economies. Oil prices, so they help us as well. But there's a whole huge basket of activities. This will continue in 2016. We have a few offsetting elements like the salt harvesting in the Dead Sea, which will come on top of it. But I would expect in 2016, potash cost per ton go down, not up. We haven't fully implemented at all the opportunities in the Dead Sea. You know, you have those programs that are initiated by management and the chief engineers. Now we have 1,000 people or close to 1,000 people who are starting to think about this every day. So everybody comes back and says, oh, instead of buying two screwdrivers, we can only buy one. And, you know, lots of thousands of little things. Our procurement activities, of course, that we show in our efficiency reduction as a block in the P&L that goes into the cost per ton. We have a reduction here. So it's many, many different things, and this is not yet the end.
So we can use Q4 as a reasonable run rate for 16. Is that fair? Or
I think Q4 is a good run rate for 2016, yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
We will now move for questions in the room.
Yeah, Chris Kapsch with BB&T Capital Markets. Looking on page 11, focusing on the specialty businesses, and then looking at engineered materials in particular, it looks like for 16 you're forecasting sort of flattish operating income on flattish sales. And I'm just wondering, with, you know, the comment on pricing looking improved for 16 in bromine and bromine derivatives, and presumably incremental benefit from your operational excellence efforts and cost takeouts, and even raw material costs being lower, why wouldn't we see some improvement in operating income in 2016 for engineered materials?
This is a mix. The big red box you see on this slide for engineered materials is not just the bromine, it also includes the advanced additives, phosphate, in industrial engineered materials business. We've had a very, very strong fire safety business in phosphates in 2015. We always budget on the basis of an average five-year fire safety business, which obviously is significantly lower than the actual result of 2015 because we don't know when it's going to burn where. And that's one of the dampening factors in this. I think that's probably the main one, but maybe also this is a conservative estimate.
The second element. element is, Stefan mentioned it earlier, the clear brine fluid. We also expect it to go down after a record year in 2015. So this is why 2016 we modeled it more conservatively.
And then just to follow up, if I look in the, on that same page, looking at the anticipated CAGR through 2020, and again, looking at industrial products, it looks like, you know, flattish on the industrial solution side. I assume that has to do with brominated flame the clear brine fluids. And then, but on the flame retardants, you're looking at 30 to 40% operating income CAGR. So presumably that's pricing. Could you just talk about what you expect in that business over the next few years? Thanks.
Actually, in this business, there's two elements. In flame retardants business, there's two elements. There's a shift of older products to newer products, which have a better margin, but there's also a significant cost improvement. Most of the cost improvement in brominated compounds are visible in the flame retardants.
I'll go next. Good morning, folks. It's Matthew Korn with Barclays. First, just a couple questions. First for Kobe, maybe a little illumination. There were several moving pieces in the tax rate this quarter. I think some bromine, magnesium, rhodium. Could you illuminate a little bit more about what all was going on for the quarter and what to expect perhaps they're looking at over the next rest of the year? And the second for Stefan, looking at slide 20 on the performance products aspect, it seemed that the other OPEX item was a big part of the delta versus my numbers. It seems that you're in somewhat of an investment phase in terms of spending, maybe on salaries and kind of building out for that business. Where are we in that process, and what should we see around that normalizing as we go into, again, the next half of the year?
Okay. So on the tax rate, I would say that all those unusual items more or less offset each other, and we did have a slightly lower than usual tax rate, effective tax rate for the quarter, around 22%. We expect this to be around 25%. Last year we had 29%. This was exceptionally high. It's the mixture of the sources of taxes in the various jurisdictions and many, many moving parts, but I think going forward the 25% is a good number. On the build-up, maybe of the future, we are building, we are expanding the food, mainly the food business, and this requires an additional infrastructure of sales force that we are building, and this is now somewhat a burden on our operating expenses. But the main reason for the change year over year is the divested businesses that we had last year, and we don't have it anymore.
Just a comment on the food business. We have built a significant add on the technical sales force and also in R&D, which we completed somewhere around the end of the third quarter of 2015. You will see now the effects of this coming into the P&L, probably starting in the second or third quarter of 2016 and beyond, without significant additional resources that needs to be added. So this is kind of a pre-investment, not in the form of CapEx and plants, but in the form of people. There's a second one-time effect here. We had a fire in one of our plants in Israel in the fertilizer business, and that plant supplies product into the food business. So the food guys, in order to keep their supply chain, they had to source this material from third parties, and that was more expensive, and that's also included in here.
Thank you. So Michael Glover, two questions, if I may. Firstly, on the Chinese JV, obviously as the profitability improves, how will you repatriate the cash? What's the structure there to get funds back out of the country to the parent company? And then just one on your bridges on slide 15 slide 15, the price negative $53 million. What volumes is that impacting? Is that a spot impact on a small percentage of your total volume? So could you give us some kind of color as to what total tonnage has been affected by price thus far? Thank you.
Cash repatriation is COVID's job. On this price decline is just the average, the delta, the price difference on the average volumes quarter four 2014 versus quarter four 2015. So
So the spot versus contract is what I'm missing.
Yeah, it's just the average sales price in year over year was $53 million lower.
Sure, but I assume there's an amount in that that's fixed price year on year and amount that's variable, i.e. you're selling on contract versus.
Yeah, okay, but the China contract was a little bit lower in 15 than 14, and then the spot price was dramatically lower, of course.
Okay. Do you give that split of volume?
No.
Okay.
We have the average prices in the press release.
Yeah.
You can see there the 14%, and that's the contribution.
Thank you.
And obviously, the spot prices went down much more than contract prices year over year.
In terms of getting out cash from China, the way both partners funded the joint venture is through partner loans, and as a result of that, at least in the next few years, we don't see any issue to take out the cash. However, we also have some plans to invest there, so we want them to use the cash flow that they will use in the short term to fund their operational excellence and synergies-related initiatives. But later on, we have quite a few years of vehicle to take out the cash from China through those partner loans.
And of course, investments that are made in other parts of Asia, in Thailand, in Malaysia, places like this where we will build subsidiary plants, that's all funded by this joint venture. So it will reduce the capex that ICL has to make from corporate.
Thank you.
Hi, Bruce Schoenfeld from Blue Star Global Investors. Just on slide 18, where you talked about the lower cost for phosphate. So it's all benchmarked to 2012, and it looks like the full cost per ton has gone down about 22%. So without me having to do all the math and everything, what is the current cost per ton of phosphate rock?
It depends on the rock and it depends on the mine.
Okay, that's your average across the.
But it's sufficiently competitive in order to be very comfortably competing in all of the markets at the moment.
Okay, and that's all you want to say?
Yeah.
And what about the average quality? I suppose you don't want to say anything about that as well.
No, that's right.
Okay, thank you.
But I mean, here the whole art of this is how to manage an integrated value chain and what to sell at which point in time into which market and what not to sell but to move into downstream markets. And that's why we don't want to be too open, because otherwise our competitors are going to see what we're doing, and that's, I think, not good for the business. So you wouldn't like it at the end either.
Rosemary Bello with Gabelli. I was wondering if you have seen any changes in the mercury removal market in the U.S. Vis-a-vis MAT, and whether utilities are, taking the mercury out, whether or not MAT has been officially put in place.
Charlie, did you get this question?
Yes. If I understand, the question is what is going on with mercury control in the United States? Is that correct?
Yes.
The market continues to be okay. It is growing as well in about between 8% and 12%. The Supreme Court ruling, and then what? Not the Supreme Court, the court ruling that has occurred has not impacted the demand.
And so you are seeing utilities complying even though the ruling is
not in place?
Correct.
And then if we can move to China, still on the bromine, you said that you have a benefit from the service you are offering and then the safety levels. Have you picked up a lot of market share since the explosion in Tianjin? Have you seen a change in the way the Chinese are operating?
Charlie, let me answer, and then you can jump in. We haven't gained a lot of market share in China itself, but the Chinese producers are starting to have a significant higher focus on the security and the safety of the supply chain as well as on all of the missions they have in water especially, but also into the air. And that has incentivized the Chinese producers to be more cost-conscientious and price-conscientious. Therefore, in China, not just the elemental bromine prices have gone up, but also the compound bromine prices have gone up, and that has had a positive positive effect on bromine pricing all over the world. So it's more of an indirect effect, but, you know, it's one sausage, and if you press the sausage at one end, it'll get thicker on the other end. So it needs to be managed with a global perspective, and I think this is what our team has done very, very well in 2015. Charlie, anything to add on the Chinese producers' behavior?
No, no further comments.
Howie Flinker, Flinker & Company. Has your expansionary project in China been funded yet or not yet?
Yes.
Second, could you please explain your interest expense in the fourth quarter? There were some confusing debits and credits that threw me off. And your interest expense is way down, but that had to do with probably something with your deferred taxes or something like that.
Yeah.
If you want to do it after the meeting, that's okay, too.
I'll just say something. In general, actually, the unusual quarter was more last year because of hedging activities and on both on currencies as well as on oil that we did last year. This quarter was more or less normal, but we can take you later on the specifics of that.
I'll make a comment to you about the dividend after the meeting.
Okay. We have no more questions from the room, and at this point we will conclude the conversation. Thank you everyone for listening and for participating, and of course if you need us, please don't hesitate, contact directly. Thank you and have a great day.
Today's conference has concluded. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines at this time.